Concept Hour. The Album Concept Hour. It's the Album Concept Hour.
So many episodes.
Now, Brett, you look way... You don't look nearly as tall on the computer, by the way.
No, yeah, no. It's deceiving. No, you can't see my freakishly long body. It's just...
Dude, he's tall.
I'm a tall guy. Anyone that doesn't know, I'm a tall guy.
I'm a tall guy.
Yeah, but welcome everybody to season two of the Album Concept Hour. Today I am your host, as I am every day. My name is Brad LeBaron, and we have our co-host, as per usual, John Aker over here.
John Aker checking in, back what in the up? Studio!
Yep. We are well into season two at this point. And then we have, and it's going to be weird because people aren't going to mention season two at all for the first like five episodes. And then we're going to mention it on this one. Anyway, we're trying to get the scheduling, the recording schedules on point so that they're closer to when we actually record them, guys.
But you know, it's going to be nice though. Like people are going to look at us like someday and be like, man, their ass screwed up. But hey, we're recognizing it, by the way.
Yeah,
saying it.
You may have noticed a couple of our episodes come out in an out of order.
The bonus episodes really like throw a loop in the wrench.
A wrench in the loop.
I don't know what the loop is.
Yeah.
I think that's what sets the show apart from others, though, and makes it really, you know, kind of makes it better.
We need to get through albums. You know, we and there's a lot of them to get
and
through.
Albums we get through.
Yeah. So
I still can't
you
wait.
May, you have heard
we tackle the wall.
You have heard his voice a little bit. We've teased it, but we haven't told you who that voice is. You might recognize it though. It's a returning guest. We have Trevor Colden, right?
You have got it right.
Yes,
yeah.
I got it right first time.
Not to be confused with COVID, because
do you get that?
No, I'm not Trevor COVID, but no, that's not who I am.
Do people get? Do you get that from people?
No, I just don't want people to get the wrong
idea.
Okay,
cool.
I just want
people just
to
checking.
Get the wrong, preemptively.
Well, sometimes I hear Fred, when someone's saying Fred, I hear Brad. So I don't know what that is.
No, I'm just setting the record straight.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same.
Okay, you are not related to COVID.
No.
Good to know.
No.
But yeah, Trevor's back. He's been on a couple episodes, Gorillaz and... What was
Rush.
The other one again? Rush. That's right. Yeah. Where we messed with you guys with that clip.
That was a good one.
I am curious what the fans think of that. Were you infuriated by the same clip over and over? Was it fun for you?
I thought I wanted to say something, but I left it. I figured you guys knew what you were doing.
I had trust.
I had faith in you.
That's very nice of you.
That's so nice of you, Trevor.
I put my trust and faith in you. And you just kicked me to
gosh
the curb.
Darn it.
Yeah. That was your mistake right there. Yeah.
Although technically we did know what we were doing. You told me you were going to do it when we were clipping
stuff. No. This was unplanned entirely. What are you talking about?
Right.
I don't know what to believe.
Nothing on this podcast is planned. What are you talking about?
We're completely, like, we're just a bunch of stoners. What do you expect from us?
Yeah.
We don't plan anything.
But speaking of plans, we are doing J. Cole 2014 Forest Hills Drive, not 36 Chambers, unfortunately.
It's okay.
Which there was a little mix up, but
it's okay.
That was
my fault.
That's fine. But you know, we'll do 36 Chambers at some point, guys. I promise.
36
no,
Chambers.
I believe we will.
Yeah.
I mean, you that's what I assumed when you like sent that. I literally. Uh-huh. I don't know. I must have like skimmed part of it.
I bet you were just excited about 36 Chambers.
I think so. You know I mean? I was like, Wu-Tang, all right.
Yeah, 36 Chambers.
There we
Chambers,
go.
Yeah.
That was like the most notable name on your thing for me. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. even J. Yeah. Cole is like second.
No, that's going to be a very special episode, I think.
I think it should be.
Yes.
Because they deserve a lot of respect.
It is Wu-Tang.
R.I.P. ODB.
R.I.P. ODB.
Mm-hmm.
ODB.
But yeah, this song is about 2014 Forest Hills Drive is a reference to his childhood home that he grew up in. Well, that he lived at for a long time. And then in 2014, he bought the house that he grew up in. And what is happening? Oh, it's a dog. Is that rain?
No. I heard it too. I thought it was a rain motorcycle.
What the fuck was that?
A rain motorcycle?
Yo, don't judge me.
Maybe it just rained really, really quick or something.
The windows are open.
Anyway, we have headphones on, so we're blocked from the outside world, Matrix style. So we don't know what those noises were.
It's okay.
We don't know what's going on right now.
Yeah, yeah, I have no idea what's going on right now. Yeah, back to what we're talking about. You know, it's probably that Bigfoot Museum album, like, haunting my computer. You know what I mean? Grant Summerlin.
It's such a good pick, though, for the season finale.
Yeah, it was
fun. That's...
J. Cole is he's someone I wasn't too familiar with before. Like, I've heard, you know, singles by him. I've heard all the songs that he's on with Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother's a big fan of him. He's always telling me to check him out. But this is the first time I listened to a full album of his.
Yeah.
And that's not true. I did listen to one full album one time, but it was just the one time.
Just for the one time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not this one. It wasn't this one. Okay. I don't know which one off the top of my head, but it wasn't this one. But it was very good. It was was really great production.
I think that's probably my favorite album by him.
This one?
Sure. Yeah. Well, no, the one you're referring to.
Oh yeah, 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 definitely. It's for sure your favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite. Yeah.
This one's a close second.
Yeah.
It's not like described in the Wikipedia as a concept album, but I mean, if you listen to it and you pay attention, it definitely is following a story. It's a narrative start to finish. It's definitely a concept album in our book.
It fits our guidelines.
Yes, it fits our very loose guidelines.
It works. There's a continuing stream of context that you understand.
Yeah,
all right,
yes,
that works.
Yes, exactly.
Do it. Let's do it.
So there's some context. It's kind of him going into nostalgia, I think, being brought back to his home. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I would surmise, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that just being there probably just brought back a lot of stuff, which is pretty clear throughout the album. Like, I mean, he talks about some of his firsts, like losing his virginity. He talks about going to Hollywood and the experiences that he has there. And
he pretty much covers the whole range.
He
covers youth.
Looks back, uh-huh.
you know, like that's what he's talking about. His story,
uh-huh.
looks how back he at got his role here. Models too.
Which role models.
He reflects on that, which is really cool.
Uncle Phil,
so good.
Yeah, so we should get into the intro though. I have another thing for you guys to look at. These are lyrics of like the clips. But expanded a little bit, so we have more frame of reference. Yeah, new season 2 shit. all right, so...
Concept Hour Advancement.
Yes. Here is intro. Shit. All right, hold on. Take 3, guys. 1 second. Back to the studio. Back
we go.
To the studio.
We go.
Intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Look how far I done came. They say that dreams come true, and when they do that, there's a beautiful thing. Do you want it? Do you want it? Yeah, you happy. So, yeah, really, really. You know, dreamy kind of intro
good
for the album.
Start it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's kind of starting to, you know, open up the, you know, narrative, like, you know, talking about his dreams and having them come true. And, I guess this is probably when he's thinking of like his current experiencing getting away from that. You know what I mean?
He's thinking about how it was when he was young.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, would sometimes, you know, you think back to yourself and you're like, man, I had real dreams. Like, not real dreams, but like, I had such dreams.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Like, so long ago, you know, and...
Yeah, yeah.
Look where I am now.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. And he's taking that kind of middle age journey or whatever where... it's not like a midlife crisis by any means.
Quarter life crisis is what they call it a lot.
Is that it? Is midlife crisis even a thing anymore?
I don't know. I mean,
I feel like it's mostly just
it's midlife crisis in whatever age you're in these days. All right,
I would agree to that.
Like above the age of 25, I've done it. I've been like, gosh, dang it, why am I getting old?
I've had several.
I hate this. What did I do between like the years of 18 to like 25? Yeah. What did I do?
I don't know.
Now I'm just like, it all hurts.
Enough to put you in a fetal position.
Oh, yeah.
Steph doesn't...
I kind of remember what I did.
Yeah, Steph doesn't recover quite as easily. But yeah, he's saying, you know, look where I came, how far I done came, like... So he's definitely like looking. Yeah, you're right. He's definitely looking back. It's not like a first person or anything. But
that's what kind of makes it a good intro, because it's like if this was a movie, you'd be like coming in on his face, and he'd just be like, "Man, I remember a time when."
Yeah, this is kind of I think this is kind of a cinematic track.
All right,
yeah. I think that it could really, really work for that, because that's directed by Scott Lazes, and I don't know what
would that be, the music video.
Oh, that's probably, yeah, okay.
Because
that's,
I know J. Cole puts out a lot of videos, and sometimes they're pretty good.
You know, I didn't have time to watch the music videos, but I did see that there's a lot here on the sidebar. So, I watched the beginning of like one music video, but I've seen a few, you know, the ones connected to Kendrick, you know, I've seen those music videos
for sure.
But yeah, you know, it's just a real, real chill intro to the theme, and you know, going back home and just getting you in the mood, guys.
Yeah, getting back to your roots almost.
Yeah, yeah. So there's not too much else to say, I think, about this track. So I'm just gonna move on to track two.
It's pretty short and sweet, so I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So this is January 28th.
Tennessee's turn us into enemies. I hope that we remember these nights full of Hennessy. When hove around, we switch up to that Ducey. Gotta show respect, one day we tryna stay where you stay, cause we from where you from. Not talking about the slums, I'm talking about that mind state to keep a black nigga dumb, keep a black nigga dying by black.
Nice clip, bro.
So
nice.
Solid clip.
Yeah,
what a song.
Trevor would say.
Yeah, because so like Trevor, you were saying earlier, like he definitely doesn't, shy away from, you know,
tough conversations.
Tough conversations.
He's ready to have them, and he fully believes that, you know, they need to be halved.
Mm-hmm.
And
only way you get anywhere.
You really got to appreciate that, especially in the current time we're in right now. You just kind of have to appreciate the directness that he takes.
And
with a lot
and
of
you
lyrics.
Really you have to apply it to everybody. Like, you just don't, like. Person is a person, you know, just
regardless.
Yes, regardless.
Well, and he's also talking about, though, you know, kind of systemic racism stuff here. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Know,
about
he's talking about what needs to be talked about.
Well, about how,
know?
Like, when you're from those areas you know, they want to keep you down. They want to keep you uninformed, you know. Which is why it's important
slave
when you're from
culture.
Those areas to be informed. You know what I mean?
It's so... why can't we escape slave culture? That's like the problem.
Yeah, you should check out that Run the Jewels 4 track with Pharrell Williams.
Talking.
It's got a really good message about that, actually.
Can we just talk about Killer Mike for 1 second?
Yes.
Sure. What did you want to say about Killer Mike?
Killer Mike is another one who is just absolutely woke. If you haven't seen what he's trying to do, like just talking it with the Senate or anything.
Well, I haven't seen him talk with the Senate,
so
but
Killer Mike will actually go and he'll talk with people and he'll talk actually to the Senate and all that.
He's an activist, but I do have some criticisms of him right now. I'm a fan of him, but he like stood with the Atlanta like city council like rebuking the like protests and stuff happening in Atlanta, and like you know, it was one of those things where it was like I had really, you know, at first really mixed feelings about it. We talk about it actually on one of the episodes of the podcast.
Sure.
Basically what we got to talking about was like, you know, we want to see him in the front lines of the movement, if he's going to be on stage talking about it. You know what I mean? But yeah, like I, you know, Killer Mike is the person that, like, you know, kind of activated me into, you know, getting more involved and stuff. So, you know, he's one of my favorite people to listen to.
Definitely felt.
But yeah. Right now, I'm not sure where he stands. I think he's been kind of he's been doing interviews and stuff, but he hasn't really talked about the protests, as far as I know, much since then.
He's been a little quiet, but
because I mean, a lot of, you know, people were like, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, you're kind of, you know, maligning the movement from the gate.
That's been our political moment.
You know,
The album concept hour. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Well, yeah, just to mention it, because, I mean, we did talk about it at length on the last episode, on the Jules 4 episode. But yeah, Killer Mike, dude.
Killer Mike.
I love Killer Mike.
Right.
But what were we on track two? So January 28th is his birthday, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, oh, really starting from the beginning there. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I like exactly. It. I like he's it. He's you know, like, he's really thinking back on his whole life, not just like a portion of it. You know what I mean?
No,
he's really going back.
Just thinking back to the first memories type stuff.
And when he was, you know, thinking, wondering if he could, you know, make money off of his art. There's some, you know, survivors.
Oh, no, there's definitely that, like, there's definitely, I definitely sensed a lot of that, like, that he was, like, he wanted to make money off of it, but he wasn't sure how he could yet.
Well, and there's, do you know what survivor's guilt is?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think there's some survivor's guilt stuff in here because he made his way to like a slightly better situation, whereas some of the people he grew up with.
Oh, yeah,
didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you hear that,
and then
the
you
songs,
like you feel bad. Yeah, for the, you yeah. feel bad for the people you left behind.
Well, and I mean, there's actually I don't know if it's this song, but in one of the songs, he actually references he's like talking from the perspective of one of his friends and how he's like, man, I'm just trying to be like you. He's like, man, do you know how stupid you sound right now? He's like,
I'm just
trying to be. He's like, I look up to you. And he's like, you actually have a chance of getting out of here.
Yeah, that's track four. Yeah. That's a really good spot. I got a part of that speech there.
Yeah, so he makes a reference to that. So, yeah. I mean, I definitely see what you're saying. Like, when you say, like, he might, like, a little bit of survivor's guilt, something like that.
Maybe. Yeah. When you come from I don't want to get too into it, but I'm from Beloit. And so, you know, I know a lot of people that have had bad situations since high school, amen, you know, that I graduated with. And, you know, I'm kind of like one of the lucky ones because I moved out of Beloit and moved into a different area, you know. I really relate when, you know, survivor's guilt stuff comes up because, like, you know, in some ways I feel that.
100%.
Because I love Beloit and it's one of my favorite. I wish that I could, you know, live there and do what I want to do, but it's just there's no jobs. It's a really desolate kind of area.
It's a little bit how I feel about Milwaukee. I was born in Milwaukee and I still love Milwaukee. Yeah. But
you and Nick in the red eye.
Yeah, just love Milwaukee.
But you know, I still have a lot of people I love in Beloit. He's kind of going through these motions right now in this, you know, because. Mm-hmm. You know, he got to go to 2014 Forest Hill Drive, which was, you know, a nice spot.
Yep.
But yeah, here's another line I want to talk about. What's the price for a black man life? I check the toe tag, not 10 in sight. I turn on the TV, not one hero in sight. I love the MCU and I love superhero movies in general and stuff, but even they as progressive as they've been, have been not great about that, you know?
Well,
so, I mean, it's something...
It's hard when the mythos come from where they come from. We're a European country first.
Understandable.
All right? We were very European
at
first, and then everybody else came to us because we were the last place to run.
Yeah, you're kind
of that's part of the fallacy of the history of the United States. You know what I mean? That's the false history of the United States. Whereas, like, the real history is, like, off the back of Native Americans and, like, you know, black people.
No, absolutely.
Like, it was never a European country. We just invaded and colonized. You know what I mean?
But we did it in the European style, though.
Well, yeah, because we're assholes. The point being, though, like, the idea that it was a European nation is part of what, like, people have issue with. You know what I mean? Part of what people are talking about in the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, like that's part of the reason they knocked down those statues. I definitely don't want to get into that right now. No. But like, there is some of that you know goes to some of what people are doing. Well, now it's probably who knows what's happening right now in the movement. But this is like a month later, so let's not get too specific about the movement.
That's true.
But the next song though is a really really personal song. It's a song you don't really get this perspective a whole lot in hip hop or rock music, honestly. Just most music just doesn't cover the subject. It's about being a virgin and losing your virginity. And I'll just play the clip that
kind of hits on a lot of levels.
Yeah. You nope. Yeah, just how I practice. But right before I put it in, she flinched and grabbed it and said, I wanna get something off my mental. I can tell you a pro, but baby, be gentle, cause I ain't ever did this before, no. And I ain't ever did this before, no.
Probably one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, this is one of the songs that really this is the first time in the album I was like, wow, he has a really good storytelling abilities.
He is, and it hits home.
The ending.
I think it hits home about a lot.
just to cover like what is kind of like the story of the song quick. So this is about like a girl that he was into in high school, you know, more nostalgia stuff.
Passing notes between each other. It started flirting.
Yeah, they started flirting, and then he tells her that like he's like, you know, he's had sex and he's like good at it. And then she's like, oh, I have too. Like, let's do this this weekend.
But then
like when they finally get together, he finds out that she's a virgin too, so they were both lying to kind of sound like they are more mature than they are.
Just,
you know?
Such a great story.
He even breaks it down in even a little embarrassing level. He's like, I've been watching pornos, watching How to Get My Stroke Right, you know, talking about game spitting game.
Oh,
you know
what
I mean? Like, okay, in any adolescent boy's life, I mean, everyone's been there, and I love that he puts that in his song, and he makes it part of everything, and it's just kind of great.
It's such a really funny tune, but it's also so intimate. You know what I mean? Like,
it really is,
because it's a very non-masculine thing to sing about.
He doesn't make it real jokey, and it's just like, it is kind of like, it's funny, but it's also really.
I feel like that's part of the reason why he did it though,
because
he knew if he did it right, it's gonna get done, you know. Like, he did it right, and it's really good song.
Well, I think it's something,
it really covers a lot of I felt a lot of that song.
Well, I think that he saw that like it's something that was a Blake spot, you know, something that is taboo to talk about that he wanted to get into.
I think that's what was so cool, that he broke it down and he's like yeah, I mean, like even like somebody like me, who is like, you know, it's just like, it's the same for everybody. He's like, he spoke to a whole generation of kids coming up. So, I mean, like, and I don't know. I just really appreciate that the way that he broke it down for everybody.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I think, maybe a commentary on maybe like, you know, millennial, because, you know, millennials are very much more open sexually.
Well,
you know,
I mean, look at the media that we watch. We appreciate it as adults. We always have, but like,
Well, but it's more, it's a more mature view.
No,
of
absolutely.
Exactly. And like,
and kid, like everybody's
like,
learning.
But at the same time, like, you know, we all, you know, there's always that time in like high school or whatever
your
where you're like embarrassed about your sexuality.
Oh,
and, and you don't want anyone to know
years,
that
man.
You're a virgin, blah, blah, blah.
Nobody's a virgin in high school, though. That's the thing. At least
amongst, I was a virgin.
amongst males. You gotta,
well,
don't you
listen,
remember the machismo?
I was in a Christian pop punk band, so I wore that with a badge of honor. I told everybody I was a virgin.
All right.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was right on his level.
I was part of the football team and stuff like that. So the machismo that came along with that was like, nobody's a virgin. Everybody's had sex at like by the time they get to high school.
Yeah.
Of course,
that's well, yeah, yeah. It's one of those things.
That's why, like, I
not good about culture, but
it's
something that a lot of people experience.
Exactly, it's like that whole like peer pressure thing. Even though, like, knowing like everybody's still a virgin. And
yeah,
I was part of the marching band, and that's when I realized everybody talks.
Yeah, well, yeah, everyone.
You couldn't say anything to
that
nobody.
That never stops
without it ever. Getting around to the whole band.
Yeah, yeah. That never stops.
Oh,
people that talk
man.
Shit and
yeah.
High school talk shit forever.
Yeah,
exactly.
No. It's
but that's why it was also years ago and I don't care.
I miss high school, but I don't miss high school.
Yeah.
Anyway.
High school.
Well, I was about to say, speaking of high school, this is kind of, this next song is actually, this is the one we were talking about earlier.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of his coming of age because it's when he kind of realizes that his experience is different than some other people's experience.
You about to go get a degree, I'ma be stuck with two choices. Either graduate to wait or sell a number two. For what? $100 or two a week? Do you think that you would know what to do if you was me? I got four brothers, one mother that don't love us.
Yeah, so he's like, that's when he's having a conversation on the stoop with his friend that's also a dealer.
Yep.
And
all he wants to do is be like him.
Yeah, he's jealous.
And lo and behold, he brings this jealousy to the table. And his friend was jealous of him the whole time.
Yeah, well, and his friend is just, you know, is kind of laying it out like, listen, like, it's not like this is something I necessarily wanted to do. It's like this is something that has fallen upon me.
He's like, I had two options, moving a brick or selling a number two.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So. Do you know what number two is referencing?
I don't. I mean, I would
assume. I was thinking he meant just like second, like most popular drug dealer.
Not a clue. I mean,
it's like settling for like not even like a high level of volume, you know?
See, I'm not entirely sure.
I don't know. But it's, it's one of my favorite parts in the album. It's really raw.
Yeah.
Let me get the lyrics up here for you guys. So yeah, this is when he's like 18 years old. So I think that he didn't before this point kind of think about the, you know, just the difference in neighborhood that can make in your well-being. You know, if you go to a more middle class neighborhood, you're, you know, a little safer
because
the police aren't always around. First of
no,
all.
Dude. Local thing about that is that, like, I've noticed that, you know, Bellefontaine, like right down the road from me, we never used to have cops on our road. Now I see them like all the time.
So
because they're policing the nice white
they wouldn't
neighborhood
want those protesters
in
to
the
hey,
yeah.
So I was looking at the lyrics and I'm thinking and he says, where is it?
Graduate to wait.
Yes, graduate to wait or a number two. Is he referring the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms? So selling guns, possibly.
Huh? That could be it.
Maybe.
Could be.
Just a theory I was sitting here kind of wondering about.
Yeah. No, that's actually very legitimate.
Yeah. Guns or drugs, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like, and he's making the point, like, you know, it's still like not even that glamorous. You know, he's like making a couple $100 a week. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he's got a lot of family, and his mother, you know, didn't.
Well,
it's, you know, the classic kind of story.
And you get kind of a bitter jealousy too, because he talks about, he goes, well, you're gonna go get a degree. And
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Yeah, man. So uh-huh. I mean, that's a real option. So he's like, you're.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, I have two options, uh-huh. and you yep. have unlimited. Is basically yeah, what he's
uh-huh,
telling
uh-huh.
you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely what he's feeling in the.
Yeah.
That's just what I kind of get from it.
Yeah. Well, I like the line, if they didn't want us, why the fuck didn't they wear rubbers? So little.
That line hit hard, actually.
I was about to say, little public service announcement. If you don't use protection, people.
Yeah. Condoms.
Yep.
If you're going to wear a mask in public, also wear a condom when you're getting freaky.
Yeah, man. Before you home prep your stump.
Do both.
Yeah,
And he also mentions the after this from trailer park to front yard with trees in the sky. So he kind of gets back to the theme of moving to the house, mm-hmm. you know. And the next song is really fitting. It's called "Tale of Two Cities." So I mean, he establishes the idea of realizing that he's better off right now, and then Tale of Two Cities obviously is, it's the
literal or the literature
yeah.
reference.
Yes, yes.
Because it's a book.
Indeed.
Like my sister.
Thank you.
English nerd.
Charles Dickens. All right, Tale of Two Cities with a Z.
Last night we put up on a nigga at the light light. Nice watch. Run it. Hands in the air now, hands in the air, run it. Hands in the air now, hands in the air, run it. Hands in the air.
It's probably one of my favorite tracks, actually. I love that fucking, like...
The beat and everything.
Well, and the intensity of it. He does a great job leading up to that.
He really does.
Yeah. But yeah, he's kind of covering that... I guess aspect that his friend was talking about in this song, where you gotta do some shit to make money to provide.
So he's referring to the two paths that he possibly could walk.
Yeah, I think so. I think I don't know if this is. I think this is. Oh yeah, that's right. This one is. I think him having like actual dreams about.
Yeah.
Potentially being in this situation, like, growing up in his old place before 2014, Forest Correct. Hills, and how he could have been. So, I think that, where is it? Right here. Yeah, can I get a glimpse? Fuck being timid with the civic, politicking with the pushers and the pimps. I'm trying to write a story, get a glimpse. Oh, yeah, last night I had a bad dream that I was trapped in the city, and then I asked, is that really such a bad thing?
So, talking about living the life in the city.
Yeah. And it's like, it's also, he's addressing the fact that, like, he's conflicted about how he feels about it. Because, like, he's thinking that it's, he's talking crap about it, but, like, he also is kind of accepting the fact that, like, this is... this is my home. Is this really that bad?
He also has a line in there. He's like, is that really such a bad thing that I could want to be the king of my domain?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then he wants to be the king, and then he wants to change things.
Even right there mm-hmm. with that.
For the better. Hey, Brian, that's like his goal.
What's that?
Back up just a little bit right there. So, talking about being from a small town with Hollywood dreams, though. So, uh-huh. being right there, kind of mentioning like how being the king of... being a big fish in a small pond. So kind of the allure of that is kind of what I get from that.
Yeah. Everything that glitters ain't gold.
How could you know? Me how could you know? Because it is hard. You have to make decisions in the moment.
Yep.
Sometimes, And
yeah.
What's the right?
Sometimes you don't know what the right answer was. You have doubts, and sometimes your doubts are like, oh, yeah, you never needed that. Or sometimes, you could smash. Yeah.
So, he's having like...
he's having kind of a conflict internally. Mm-hmm, that's what it sounds mm-hmm. like.
Yeah.
Father, forgive me for my childish ways.
Yeah, look at that.
Please, I'll send that prayer right up.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just a great classic. Like this one really reminds me of maybe something from Good Kid, Mad City.
Oof,
yeah,
what an album!
I was gonna say this is kind of like,
and if I'm not mistaken, they came out around the same time.
I was going to say, yeah.
Or was Good Kid, Mad City much earlier? I can't
well, it's
remember
like a really now. Similar kind of concept, honestly.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I think Kendrick's is more focused on the side of being on the street, whereas this is more focused on getting...
Where he's at and where he could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's looking introspectively.
Yeah, yeah. He's not, like, he's, like, talking about how he didn't experience this, but he could have.
Very easily. It yeah, was yeah. one of two paths that he uh-huh. possibly could have walked.
Yeah. So, yeah, this next track is Fire Squad.
One of my favorites.
And, yeah. Yeah, it's about
yeah, this is a pretty good one.
This is a
these rappers always bite each other's flows. Same thing that my nigga Elvis did with rock and roll. Justin Timberlake, Eminem, and Macklemore. While silly niggas argue over who gon' snatch the crown. Look around, my nigga, white people have snatched the sound. This year I'll probably go to the awards, dapper damn. Watch Iggy win the Grammy.
Great, great clip.
So he was
from really, that song, bro.
He was really trying to start.
Perfect.
He was trying to start beef with anybody that would, because I mean, he was calling out.
Oh, he called white, out JT.
He was calling out white people for stealing sounds.
Elvis,
been, little yeah. Elvis was yeah. he was a big well, music thief. Huge.
You know though yeah. he did admit it, but you're absolutely right.
Huge.
He yeah. stole it and he didn't.
And
yeah.
Honestly, that's why when people get upset, they say that Eminem should be rap battling people. First person on the list should be J. Cole.
First on the list should be J. Cole.
I was talking about it, and I was like, Eminem is great, but he kind of just fights out of his weight class where he's like this big heavyweight, and he kind of just, because I mean, the Nick Cannon beef. I mean.
Wait.
Eminem had beef with Nick Cannon because of stuff he said about Mariah Carey. And oh, thus started a beef. Lord. Eminem also just got done beefing with MGK as well, Machine Gun Kelly. And a lot of people think that Eminem beat him, but he kind of just fights out of his weight class. He kind of, he raps out of his own weight class. I mean, don't get me wrong. Eminem,
well, he had a strong start,
Eminem
Trevor.
Is phenomenal.
Let's not deny that.
I would love to see him go against a lyricist like J. Cole. Because he
oh, yeah, him, yeah. He, if he went against like J. Cole or Kendrick.
Calls him out right here.
Yeah, that'd be,
and,
yeah.
Eminem was silent over that.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's something I would have loved to have seen.
Yeah, well, I mean, Eminem,
well, like
Eminem famously,
way, you know? Like,
famously,
yes, you...
yeah.
Well, I was gonna say Eminem famously like made like references to the fact that he's almost only famous because he's white.
Well,
but
he also
well, he got chosen by
not that that's an excuse,
Dr. Dre.
No,
like, but
that's what it was. Dr. Dre met him. He's like, yeah. How?
You're right.
You're a tough kid.
But the way the world reacted was
he,
because
oh,
he
no,
was white.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
no, he knew what he was doing.
It was the first time that suburban parents were like,
he knew,
oh, no, what is
he,
this?
He found the right kid in the right moment. And he made it happen.
And
he
not,
did make it happen.
I'm not understepping anything that Eminem has ever done in his life because Eminem is actually, he's a phenomenal
he
rapper.
Came from,
he's
he came
a
from a hard
lyricist.
Background.
He actually knows what it's like. He's freestyle, he's great, but I just would love to see him actually go against somebody in his
oh,
own
especially
weight,
like
somebody
nowadays.
In his own weight class. I would love to see him go against somebody in his own weight class. That's
yeah,
all I'm
yeah.
thinking.
That'd be cool.
Right?
But yeah, when anyways. I first heard this, I thought that Iggy was Iggy Pop.
Iggy Azalea.
And
that was
when you mentioned Iggy Azalea, I was
old
I was
ass
like,
brain.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I
modernize
not,
yourself.
I'm not familiar with this Iggy Azalea.
Because that was she ended up taking the Grammy over J. Cole.
Well oh for this one?
Yeah.
Well no, this one To Pimp a Butterfly beat J. Cole for best rap album.
I think
that's
like,
what the Wikipedia
I think
said.
Previous albums, though. So
oh, a previous
he was
one?
Writing it from a previous album or song. If I'm
oh,
mistaken.
Okay.
So he this was kind of like a follow up.
I was gonna say so just to catch everyone up on the you know specific beef we're talking about. This is when Macklemore won the best Grammy for best rap album for I forget what because it was forgettable. And then Kendrick
thrift,
Lamar,
thrift shop, yeah.
Kendrick Lamar had Good Kid, Mad City, which was like a
amazing.
Just you know mind blowing hip hop
album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, people were rightfully pissed about it because they're like, "Yo, this is rap music. This is our music,
yep.
and you guys aren't even taking the best rap music into account."
Yeah,
just because thrift shop was popular. Yeah. So anyway. he's responding to that. Because you know he loves Kendrick, and he was you know pissed off as a lot of hip hop fans were, and yeah, so he's kind of but so this song is like getting into you know white privilege and like you know just the fact that you are white if you're using black music you are just this much more likely to be successful because
cultural
white people
appropriation.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, you know, this is kind of just a beef song. It doesn't tie into it that much. Well, I don't think, does it?
Not as, I guess scroll down just a little bit. I want to see the last few lines just because I don't remember what they are.
Yeah. I guess maybe this is like him realizing that he's badass and he should be in Hollywood, you know what I mean? Maybe this is him realizing, like, all the, well, I mean, he's also saying the crown's bullshit, but he's like,
exactly,
about to in the album go to Hollywood and try it out himself.
Well, and if what is the is that the bottom of it? I just want to
let me get oh
yeah. So he goes into explaining who's the king, and when nobody was paying attention, he just came up and he took it from everybody when they weren't paying attention, saying, claiming that he's now the new king of the throne, which I guess would kind of follow A Tale of Two Cities, talking about being a big fish in a little pond from like the last song.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that he's, you know, obviously I think he's doing it ironically because he's talking about how that's like not the best thing.
He's like overhyping himself, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's because that's what all that's what a lot of rappers do. I mean, yeah, that's the whole point is they're representing, you know, that feeling from where they come from. You know,
which I mean, I don't know. He has my vote though.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, this next song is where there we are. Saint Tropez, which is a it's a terminology for Hollywood, I guess. It's for when they go to someone goes to Hollywood to get famous.
Interesting.
Yeah, they call it Saint Tropez, some hip hop artists. Yeah, I wanted to do one instrumental for that one.
No, that was a real nice, that was a good pick.
It's a real nice palate cleanser.
Yeah, well, because it's such a, it's a really, really, that was an outro, the outro for the song, and it's just a really just nice outro. Kind of like the first track a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, he's, I think this is the part where he's leaving 2014 Forest Drive, and he's like, you know, getting into the world.
He's going on his journey.
Proper, you know.
It's time to leave the nest.
Yeah, he's trying to, you know, give it his best shot and see where it goes, which is, you know, what a lot of people do. And it's a lot more chill than this song, which is this than Fire Squad, which is like really, really arrogant, really like, you know, I'm the best, I know it. Like
he's going,
you know,
for the attack.
He's just like he's just dissing everybody.
But this is like this this one's more chill. You know, this is a really, you know, a lot more chill of a song. For the production goes.
I was about to say, like, as far as production goes, that's really nice. It's really good when you get a nice flow to an album, you know. Like, yes, there are albums that are meant to be, like, no matter what, almost, like, a chronological type of album, like Tommy or something like that.
Yeah.
But it is great when you have that, like, style where, like, you present your work, you order it, and then you make sure it, like, flows nice, you know? Like, the highs get high, the lows get low. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It keeps you feeding into it. That's the thing that we've lost almost. Like, not we've lost, but, like, high, like, a popular culture has lost almost.
Yeah.
It's like a flowing album because it's all single culture.
Well,
right,
I mean,
now,
if you do,
you know?
If you do just like digital and streaming,
yes,
then yeah, there's not as many.
Like that's why I say like popular culture. I'm not saying it's lost art.
Well, it's not.
It's just
it's like
not like it's not in like the popular culture right now. So it's all underground stuff that you got to be like listening for.
Yeah. Or people that are just doing it in an old school way.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That like, is underground right now because that doesn't sell as well sometimes. You got to hit the right, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, vinyl is still pretty big.
Vinyls have found
a comeback.
Yes.
I got my RTJ4 vinyl coming in with the beats.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It'll be pretty sick, man.
Yeah. But the one thing for this track though is it uses it interpolates a song by.
Oh, hold on. What does interpolate mean?
Interpolate means it's a song that is using another song as inspiration. So that song that it's using as inspiration is interpolated into the new song, and in return,
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna use that.
But yeah, it interpolates Hollywood by Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. And I actually found, since we didn't get the chorus for this, since I wanted to get that outro, this is the original chorus that they use, that they, you know, change for the song. So
would you say the interpolation?
It is the interpolation.
The interpolation.
Indeed.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's Hollywood.
He's on his way, he's going to Hollywood, he's bussing it to Hollywood. Showing the ways, moving to Hollywood, he's helping it to Hollywood. He's on his way, he's going to Hollywood, he's bussing it to Hollywood.
Wow.
Yeah, I love Chaka awesome. Khan. I had to include that because I'm a big Chaka Khan fan, and I saw that there was some Chaka Khan to be had. I was like,
side note about Chaka Khan.
We're back on the
She actually, time. Like, for Steve... Higher Love, Steve Winwood in the 1985 hit Higher Love. If you listen to the chorus, that is Chaka Khan on the backing vocals.
Oh, okay.
So give that hit a listen.
All right. Yeah, it's good. We'll have to add that to the Spotify playlist.
Chaka Khan.
So you guys want to listen to one more track and take a break?
Yeah.
I'd be game. And it's a goodie.
Yeah, this one is GOMD, and what is that?
What is that, Trevor?
I'm glad I can inform you. It is Get Off My Dick.
Thanks, Trevor.
Damn.
Anytime.
I could not figure
it out.
You
went there.
Yes.
I tried, and I couldn't figure it out.
Yep.
So this is Get Off My Dick.
Why every rich black nigga gotta be famous? Why every broke black nigga gotta be brainless? That's a stereotype. Driven by some people up in Aerial Heights is a scenario. Young cold boxes fat like Lil Terrio. Dreamville, give us a year, we'll be on every show. Yeah, fuck nigga, I'm very show. Fuck the rest, I'm the best nigga out.
I love that line.
Get off my dick.
But I love that I chose that line because... So, okay, I like that he mentions why every rich black... person gotta be famous. Why every broke black person gotta be brainless? That's a stereotype. So he's like putting forth the stereotype, and then he's like immediately calling it out. You know, that's a stereotype. So like, I think that this is one of those things, like that. I think a lot of white people harbor these kinds of thoughts.
Oh,
you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, they think this way about,
it's a lot of
assumptions. You know, like
a lot of assumptions.
Yeah.
And it's something that we don't really speak out loud a whole lot, but I think that a lot of white people can agree, uh-huh. like that they've, you know, they've played into these stereotypes.
Well,
sometimes
when you make assumptions like that, you know what happens when you assume.
Yeah.
Dude, though,
an ass out of you and me.
Exactly. I was.
So yeah, he's kind of like making a play on stereotypes, like kind of like saying it as if he thinks that too.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, that's a stereotype. So like, if
so
you agree with it,
out.
If you're listening to it and you agree with it, he's like then calling you out. You know what I mean?
He's like trying to get you into that spot where he's like, he wants you to think about your white privilege if you're listening to it.
And stereotypes do exist, man. I was literally at some chick's house like 2 weeks ago, and
in this time of Black Lives Matter, it is clear we need to say stereotypes do exist.
Yes, stereotypes do exist.
Yeah.
They do,
and people wield them in really horrible ways, and people call the cops on people because they're scared for no reason. And
that's just shitty behavior.
Yep, that's real shitty behavior.
That's real shitty behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so this is, where were we at? Track 8, yes. Right?
Get off my dick.
Get off my dick.
Get off my dick.
Yeah. Get off my dick. Yeah.
Now, is this the one that I was thinking of? With the? Oh, yeah. So this is the move. This is the one where in the music video, he is a House Samuel Jackson character.
Yes.
And
overall, though,
but in the end, he wins. You said, right?
So in the end, he gets. It's been a minute since I've seen it, but I believe he does become victorious in the end.
Okay. Cool. I just saw the beginning part of it.
Yes.
I think it's about kind of how he feels a little bit being in Hollywood. He feels like maybe he's betraying where he came from, becoming like more Hollywood and more.
Unfortunately, sometimes to mold.
No, sorry. Hold on, John. Brad, what did that say right there? What was that fancy word you told me about earlier? Interpolates?
Interpolates.
That's the one.
Interpolates, drunk and love.
Apparently.
Interpolate.
If I'm reading that correct, this one interpolates Drunk in Love by Beyonce featuring Jay-Z.
So, okay.
Oh, my Lord.
Will,
it even says the word.
I will say one thing about the interpolates notes here.
Yes.
I think sometimes it's kind of a loose interpolation.
Okay.
So I don't know how it interpolates.
It would still make sense because I mean in the end it's still kind of like a love story. So
I guess
it would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I think this is when he's like kind of maybe starting to lose his the sheen of Hollywood and fame.
Sure.
You know, he's starting to kind of get to the
the shininess wears off after a while.
Yeah.
when you realize what it takes to get that stupid shininess, mm-hmm. you're like, mm-hmm. oh wow.
Well, and so, it kind of sounds like he's talking about getting back to basics too, because he's tired of rapping about all that dumb stuff.
That's
kind of what it looks like from the lyrics that I'm just reading here.
Oh, dude.
He's making commentary on like, you know, just like making music that gets you hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, making some bomb hits.
Some hits.
Yeah. I love it when people do that.
Yeah.
They're like, man,
dude, you do it right, man.
Like, you guys have all sold out, but. I'm still gonna make a badass tune,
but yeah,
dude. I mean, that's the best. That's the pure joy of when you do that right,
and
you're just like, all right.
Well, that's
that sounded good. Everybody loved it.
I love it when the confidence is a little warranted.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Oh, we all do.
I definitely think it is with J. Cole too, man.
Yeah. Definitely.
What a powerhouse.
What a powerhouse. So, when we get back for this episode, we are going to get into the second half of the album,
maybe.
Starting with No Role Models, which is, I think, Trevor's favorite.
I think, honestly, I actually will give this to my favorite.
I'm super excited.
Wet Dreams is a close second, though, for sure, but this is my favorite.
Nice. So when we get back, it's Trevor's favorite on the album.
My favorite.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Album Concept Hour. We are on the second half of the podcast about J. Cole's album 2014, Forest Hill Drive. And when we last left you, we listened to Get Off My Dick. This next song is called No Role Models. So
it's hard in the feels.
Here it goes. Uncle Phil.
Real love, dark skin and Aunt Viv love. That Jada in that weird love. That leave a toothbrush at your crib love. And you ain't gotta wonder whether that's your kid love. Nigga, I don't want no bitch from reality shows. Out of touch with reality hoes. Out in Hollywood, bringing back five or six hoes.
What a great song.
Yeah. So, I didn't know this when we first started listening, or when I first listened to it, that it was about.
It's heavily
Uncle Phil and
heavily influenced by Fresh Prince of
Bel-Air. Oh, absolutely.
Well, yeah, he mentions
even
Uncle Phil,
Aunt Viv, Aunt Viv, right in the The clip.
Yep, and he mentions, I think...
Was Jada in Fresh Prince at all?
No.
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
But they met around that
but
time.
He's just using that as a point of reference.
Yeah, well, that's the Jada and Will love. Those two have no signs of breaking up in the future, and they've had three kids.
No. Wow.
They're trying to build that family empire, but other than that...
Dynasty.
Yeah, and I think he references a lot of other people from this because he was saying how he was too young for so-and-so from the show, and I can't remember who it was now, but...
Oh, he was too young for... Did I actually click on these lyrics? No, I did not.
All right.
Back in the studio. but we got I think it's down here you're talking about. No, that's the lyric. Oh, I like this one. Before I was a B-list celebrity, before I started calling bitches so heavily. So he's like kind of poking fun at the fact that he uses bitch a lot.
And then the one I like so much, I'ma stay for good. Then hang the phone up and proceed to lay the wood. Come fast like 911 in a white neighborhood. And we were talking about that when we were listening through on this, and that was one of the lyrics that came up.
Yeah. Another one of those, masculine.
Yeah, he's not scared to shy away from those rough-edged kind of points.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. I like that he threw a little humor in with it, too, even.
Yeah, yeah. But he's also talking about like reality TV in this
nostalgia again.
Yeah, well, and just kind of, I think he like not only is he talking about like Fresh Prince, but he's like kind of like comparing like TV back then to TV now. I think a little bit.
I could definitely
Whole like 20-year loop.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, man, stuff I grew up with, man, your stuff sucks.
Well, like, it does. Well, like, as
no,
far
it
as
does.
TV,
I
he's totally
I don't.
Right.
There is no Uncle Phil.
There's
on
no,
TV
there's
anymore.
No good father role
there's
model.
No good father
well,
role
I mean,
model on TV anymore.
Well, let's be fair. We don't really watch TV.
I do
these days, right?
I do.
I don't.
Actually.
I watch a lot of.
And
TV.
Like, there's,
I mean,
there's,
I watch
there's
streaming.
Decent,
stuff,
I'm not saying,
but I don't
that
watch
there aren't like decent people
TV,
but. It's there.
You know?
There is no. You don't watch something anymore and get that like wow.
So but yeah, factor. Reality TV is this vapid, just fake life. That's
yeah,
all
no.
About like
the,
you
well,
know,
reality TV is not reality.
And,
reality TV took the same role as wrestling.
And so that's why I hate reality TV, and that's why I think like our generation got so heavily into like the adult cartoons.
Yeah.
Because, oh, absolutely. Cartoons like, was an outlet for truth.
I've tried showing like cartoons to my parents. They don't understand it. They don't want to get it. They're like, "Oh, it's a cartoon. This isn't funny. I don't get it."
If I would put my dad through a whole episode of Rick and Morty, he would make me go to church for like 4 weeks.
I tried to make my dad watch an episode of The Midnight Gospel, and he didn't care for it one bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you
it's
know.
Hard. Well, they're the
past.
Last.
We are the future.
They're the last kid generation to grow up with that, like they just don't disagree with the government for the most part. They just trudge along through their lives.
Gross.
They don't. And it's gross. Sad that some of them are some of the people that, like, you know, were protesters back in the 60s. Like, some people, you lose your spirit at some point.
Yeah.
And it's sad to see that, but it does happen.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, that's our sad moment for the podcast.
Yeah,
yeah.
But where were we at here, guys?
Oh, we were talking about how he's kind of getting real nostalgic with everything.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Continuing
and,
the nostalgia going
this
on.
This is a real, like, I think out of all of them, this is kind of what...
This is a real love letter song.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Yeah, so at first when I heard this, I thought it was about, like, 90s R&B and stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
What?
Dude. Okay. I'm sorry. I got to point this out. I want a real love, dark-skinned Aunt Viv love.
Yeah.
That's because there were two Aunt Vivs.
They switched Aunt Vivs. Yes. Little known fact.
Oh,
one was darker than the other. Yes. I think the first one was.
Yes, the first Aunt Viv.
Yes.
I can't. Her name escapes me.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I can't remember the name either. But
well,
that
really
is that is a straight call out to that.
Okay.
There is.
Okay.
I believe that's when there was a contract conflict.
Yes, she and she thought she wanted more money, and they didn't want to pay her more money. She did deserve it, but you know, network execs, especially,
they're gonna do what they're gonna do.
They're gonna do what they're gonna do, and so we had to deal. The rest of us had to deal with the change.
Yeah.
But no, you were
made it real fun on clip episode.
What were you saying?
You were saying about how you kind of thought this was about like how 90s hip hop and R&B kind of influenced.
Well, I was thinking, so when I was listening to it, I was thinking that he was like kind of referencing like kind of those old, like those like kind of love making R&B songs that like I grew up with.
Woo!
Okay.
So that's what I thought he was talking about. Like when he referenced Jada and Will, is like he was referencing that time period. Okay. So I was thinking like Fugees and stuff like that. You know,
or one we were speaking about earlier, who we can't talk about right now. But
Killer Mike.
No, not Killer Mike.
Yeah. The P tapes.
Yeah.
The closet and all that.
Closet.
Wish I could.
We're keeping those tracks in the closet.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna keep them in the closet forever.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
she's been forever singing in the closet.
Sorry, Oof. Mr. Kelly, shouldn't have peed on that kid.
Eesh.
This next song.
Wait, hold on, right there. What? Knee along, right down. Now, if I
The George Bush clip.
We got a George W. clip in here.
Yeah, so we had the.
There's an old saying in Tennessee.
Oh yeah,
and, I know it's Texas probably, and
this
in
was
Tennessee.
A famous blunder.
That says, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, you can't get fooled again."
Man, I miss when the biggest problem with our president was that he missed a few words like that.
Yeah, Junior.
Now every
good old days, right?
I mean,
good old days,
and not to mention
The good old days, not in any sense the good old days.
Not to mention his horrible
he was a
response.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, his horrible response time for Katrina, and I mean, amongst other things, we won't get into.
We haven't had a good president
or
like so long.
Yeah, or the fact.
Possibly never.
Or the fact that he was a puppet of Dick Cheney.
Hey, man. We had some ones right after. When we made money. We made money after World War II. We made some good advancements in country.
I don't want to get
into
country. Too much.
Right. I'm done.
All the good money
you
we
can
made.
Cut that part out if
no,
you
we
want.
Don't have to cut it. I'm just saying good money we made was.
It was. Oh, no. We were the. What do you call that? The barter of death or whatever, like
colonizers.
In war, we made money off of death. We were the barter of death or the merchant.
Barbarians.
We were the merchant of death.
Yeah, barbarians.
Because we're like we're not going to get involved, but we'll still sell you weapons.
I get what we're saying. We're barbarians. We have no morals.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So this next track is called "Hello," and it's very
Hello.
Nice. It's very nice.
Is it me you're looking for?
Hello. And I thought about you today. And I thought about the things you used to say. And I thought about the things we did. And I thought about your newest kid. And then it makes two now.
So yeah, this is kind of getting back to the themes of the album. This is kind of after being disillusioned with like Hollywood and his experience there. He's like nostalgic for what he could have had if he stayed at Forest Hills with his girl there. You know what I mean? Looks like we got a train. We don't have a theme song for the train, though, so we're going to have to just leave it. But, this
you
is
see if like what that sounds like when you're going through editing. If that sounds anything like a train, you should keep that
party train.
No. Well, I mean, it's not gonna. I'll
look okay,
at it.
Never
I'll look
mind.
At it.
Never mind.
We're no, good. No, 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 no. It's fine. It's great.
Dumb
I'll
thought,
use it.
Dumb
I'll,
thought.
No, no,
that.
No. I'll use it. I'll totally use it. It's gonna be good. So, this song I really related to just because like I'm 31,
sure,
and I'm a bachelor. So,
yeah,
like thinking about like, I wonder if things would have worked out with that person. What would things would have been like, you know?
Hurts just a little bit.
Well, I mean, I'm at the age where it doesn't like, I'm not hurting. Are you more blessed?
Do you feel more?
I'm just more like, yeah, that happened. Right. But I mean, it's definitely one of those things where every now and again you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, that could have gone better.
What could have been?
I could have been better in that relationship. You know,
I'm like,
I understand that.
You know, I think that's what he's going through right now. Is he's like thinking that like maybe he made the wrong decision by
doing what he did. Yeah, regret.
Leaving.
Regret strikes everybody, man. Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
one of those emotions, dude.
And let me see if I have the.
Although the way I feel about my 30s, have any of you guys ever seen that Celebrity Jeopardy skit where Jimmy Fallon is playing French Stewart?
Yes, I have.
In my 30s, I'm gonna fly, Alex. I'm gonna fly. I'm like, that's me right now. Like I have that, that's my hope. That's where I'm at.
In my 30,
because I am 28 right now. I will be 29 this year. So like I have a year and a half, like, and I'm ready to do it. So, you know, it's time. But in my 30s, I'm gonna fly.
Yeah. Yeah. You're gonna fly, man.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Yeah, this is like he talks about her having like new kids and like, you know, he even expresses like if he were to become like a stepdad, like how he, you know, has anxiety about being that kid's those kids' dad.
So,
you know,
are we possibly going all the way back to wet dreams? Maybe.
Maybe. Oh. Well, I don't know. I mean, it could be.
Is he throwing it all the way back?
I mean, I doubt that his first is like the one that's also got all those things too. That's pretty rare.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to shit on it or anything, but I've known plenty of situations where that's just a. You don't stay with your first. That's just not.
Kids out there. John, no names.
I'm not.
It's a learning experience.
John and I grew up in the same town.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're okay. You know, it's all in the past. So we're just sitting here now.
Past. Present. Future.
It's all in the past, John. It's all in the past if you want it to be.
Right. Time's an illusion.
Yeah. So this next track is apparently it's my favorite track, actually.
On this album.
I've heard it. This one is the one that I've heard before listening to the album, so I really enjoyed it.
It is a great one.
All right. So apparently.
I keep my head high. I got my wings to carry me. I don't know freedom. I want my dreams to rescue me. I keep my faith strong.
Wow.
So that's kind of what you were talking about, John, about spreading your wings and flying.
He's doing what he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's time to prove. It's about proving yourself, now. You know, like proving yourself to yourself, which is the most important thing, by the way, folks.
Well, I chose that because I think it's a really, really good chorus. And I, you mm-hmm. know, one thing that I found out looking at the notes is that it's actually a stanza. If you look at the syllables.
The timing?
It's 5 syllables, 8 syllables, 5 syllables, 8 syllables all the way through the chorus. So it's actually like stanza kind of thing going on. Which is why like it flows really cool, you know what I mean? Like it has like symmetry in it. Like I always really liked this chorus. I have the verse one here because I think it really gets into a lot about what the song is about. But he says, I like to write alone, be in my zone, think back to Forest Hills, no perfect home, but the only thing like home I've ever known until they snatched it from my mama and foreclosed her on the loan. I'm sorry that I left you there to deal with that alone. I was up in New York City chasing panties, getting dome. Had no clue what you was going through. How could you be so strong? And how could I be so selfish? I know I can be so selfish.
So
he's really getting back into that survivor's guilt stuff.
We were talking about this during the listen through, and you were like, "Wow, I'd like this is really sad." And I was like, "Yeah, I guess I never heard that before."
You never think about that sometimes until you do this kind of thing.
During the breakdown, that's really just you kind of see why he went back and bought that house, and
And it also gets into another thing about systemic racism, like he might even be talking about the, foreclosure stuff. I think it was actually in 2003 that she lost the house. Interesting. In the notes on Wikipedia, but something though that when it comes to foreclosures and stuff, like Black folks and people of color are the first on the chopping block. That's like what we learned when the 2008 crash happened, is that was like a practice that would regularly happen. So he's kind of drawing attention to that too. He earlier where he was, reminiscing about how he wanted that life of the drug dealer, but he was like, you don't want this.
Well, and it's interesting too, because
You don't want that. You don't want that, buddy.
It's interesting too, because there's one of the lyrics in here. He's talking about, he's like, "I left this home, but he's like, I'm going back now because it's the only one I've ever known."
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of references how this is really about nostalgia, how he wants to get back to a time where he felt at home for once. So
yeah, and like he never felt at home in Hollywood, clearly.
Or I mean, New York when he was talking.
About
how he was in New York, which
he was chasing
sense.
A dream.
Yeah,
yeah, and, chasing, getting dumb.
Sometimes, even if you succeed, sometimes you still just want to go
chasing
home for
a dream
a little
bit. And some dome.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's all any of us.
Aren't we all just chasing some dome?
Aren't we all just chasing a dream and some dome?
Some dome or some face. Some dome or some face, ladies.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It kind of starts to bring it all together. And it's almost at the end of the album. I feel like this is, for me, one of the most insightful tracks of the whole album, and it's almost at the end.
Really looking in on your own self.
I always love it when there's a really, really good track right at the near the end of the album. I think that's a good move.
Seals the deal and just keeps you listening.
Well, it shows that you're confident enough to put something good at the end, where like some people might not like listen through all the way through. You know what I mean?
Your starter, you're just like, hey.
You know, that was when we listened through the whole Dixie Chicks album. That was kind of how I felt about the end, just because there was so much filler.
Actually, John,
there when we did that,
they're just the Chicks.
Yeah,
now.
I gotta correct you. They're just the Chicks now.
They're just the Chicks.
They dropped the Dixies because of how it's some racial implications.
I did not know that.
Very recent.
Kind of like
I apologize,
Lady A.
Yeah. Happened
like Lady Antebellum.
Yeah,
Lady A.
Happened just recently, but
to be fair,
it's okay.
Probably should have never had it.
It's okay.
Honestly, I get it though.
And
what they were doing back. So a lot of people don't realize Dixie Chicks and Rage Against the Machine had a lot in common. They were both very anti-Bush, anti-Iraq War, and they made songs about it. And
we talked a lot about that on the episode.
That is crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, they dropped it. Yep. You know, it makes sense for them to do that.
Chicks.
Okay.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Yeah. So. What were you saying about the chicks?
That was how like I felt about the ending.
Sure.
Was that like the songs at the end were very good in wrapping up what they were pressing throughout the whole album.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of filler there.
Yeah.
But then you got to the end, and you were just like, okay, here we go. We pick back up. This is some pretty good stuff. And then they end on the last song that they did was very good. It was like the one that was talking about the children, you know, and it was just
I
agree basically.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
I love it when an album does that as well.
Yeah.
It's just really nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the first one I heard, and I always thought that this was a great fucking tune. I had it on my YouTube music video playlist for a long time.
Interesting.
But yeah, this next song though is "Love Yours," so it's kind of, I think again, getting back to home. "Love Yours."
use it for good. Get it back and use it for good. And touch the people how you did like before. I'm tired of living with demons cause they always inviting more. Think being broke was better. Now I don't mean that phrase with no disrespect to all my niggas out there living in debt. Cash and minimal checks. Turn on the TV, see a nigga Rolex.
Yeah, so he's like, but like one of the main like themes in this song is like he wishes he was broke, which is like to someone that is broke, it's like,
why would you ever wish that?
Yeah, upon yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And I mean, so okay, I guess in the next album he does kind of amend to that. So during the song,
no, it's not so, even wrong that he said it.
So hold on,
well, tell me what he says.
So during Neighbors, on his. Not his most recent album, but one of J. Cole's newer albums. It was the next one after this. I think it might have been called Neighbors, if I'm not mistaken. Or no, it was For Your Eyes Only.
Okay.
So For Your Eyes Only, there was a song called Neighbors, and he references, he goes, fuck the fame and the fortune. Well, maybe not the fortune. And then he continues on, and he's like, he kind of amends it in the next verse.
Okay.
So kind of it takes another album, but he does realize that, you know, he wants to get away from the fame. He wants to get out of that from what it sounds yeah. like, but he does like the money, which I mean, I kind of understand.
We all like the money.
Well, I don't think that he's, I mean, this is actually probably, something that, you know, this is something being talked about a lot right now. Mm-hmm. You know, being, a famous.
No, this album is very like, it's very relevant.
And what that means. You know, Killer Mike being a good example, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to push to shove, yep. where are your allegiances, yep. you know, but yeah, I think that, he does say, you know, mean no disrespect. And I think that he's like acknowledging the fact that he now has this privilege, yeah. you know, not like not white privilege. It's not the same thing.
No, but it's but like, it's you money, can walk out the economic, door without feeling like you're necessarily.
It's economic here. Privilege.
Yes, mm-hmm. correct.
Yeah. Privilege comes in all shapes and sizes, folks. Yep.
The economic privilege is really like a way of.
He still doesn't
everybody.
Have,
everybody can do it, yeah. but I'm not saying everybody can do it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I know I'm confusing right now.
Well, I was just saying, like, he's
on the receiving end of, yes.
Yeah, he doesn't have white privilege, though. You know what I mean? He can still get pulled over by a cop and killed because he thinks his car is too good for him or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But he does have, like, a certain privilege over the guys that he grew up with, you know? And it's kind of the constant problem, I think, yeah. with becoming famous and having money well, is unless you use that money for
to help
good,
your, yes,
which I think he's right. getting at here in one of the earlier lines, you know, get back to it. What was it? Quick, do something before you lose it for good. Get it back and use it for good and touch the people how like you did before. So, I mean, he's definitely, you know, talking about, yeah. you know, putting it back into mm-hmm. his community, I think.
Yep.
And that's really,
gotta
yeah.
gotta go back.
That's what I think, you know, separates, you know, you being a slave to the system, the Hollywood system and the money, and you not
using
letting that
you,
control
using
you.
Using what you got.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. You got it?
Kind of like
use it.
Kind of like Kendrick's line, what was it? Money trees are the perfect place for shade.
Yep.
That's just how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what I'm talking about, guys. but let me grab these lyrics here, though. I don't think that there's much else I want to touch on here, but he's pretty much just talking about the struggle and yeah.
How he's thankful.
Yeah, how thankful he is. But yeah, thinking about or speaking of being thankful, let's get into Note to Self, which is it's the last track,
on
and
the
also album. It also has a big outro. We'll get to in after that, but
yeah.
this is Note to Self.
I've got a feeling that there's something more, something that holds us together, something that holds.
very gospel feeling.
This was a good one.
Yeah, I love that it goes into that, like, it's almost cheesy.
Yeah.
You know?
But,
yeah,
it, like, but
it's a little corny.
But it's because it's the end of the album, so it doesn't matter. like, it's cheesy, but in a good way.
It's like cheesy in like a theatrical way.
They did it
like,
right.
Yeah. It's but it reminds me, I mentioned this in the listen through, but it reminds me of The Last Waltz.
Oh,
you know, by the band, they have the music that's in the intro and the outro that's like, it's not like what they play usually, but it's like a kind of orchestral number.
Right.
That's what this reminds me of a little bit. You know, it's like him like having fun with it and just like.
Well, and to be honest, I was really glad we listened to all 14 minutes of that.
Yeah. The outro is fantastic.
It works. It makes it worth it so hard.
Yeah. You guys will hear the clip on the outro, by the way.
Such a good outro.
Yeah.
It's
fun. It's kind of similar to the outro for the Fugees, the score.
The Fugees, sure.
Yeah, they do the they do the whole thing where they.
I definitely feel
they
like
go
that
through
helped
literally
inspire
everyone
this a little bit.
Maybe. I mean, I don't hear
it's
this very
possible.
Often. Yeah,
I could be wrong. By the way, fact check. I could be wrong.
We all could be wrong.
That is.
But yeah, I mean, it definitely.
That's part of the show.
Like, it's the first thing I thought about too because we listened to the Fugees recently. So, I thought it was fun. It also reminds me. Okay, this is a reference you guys might not catch, but Streetlight Manifesto. You ever listen to those guys? So, in their first album as the band Catch 22 is really in the weeds. Catch 22, their final track for that album, Keys Be Nights, was just like them taking turns on the mic, thanking people with music in the background and dicking around. It was very similar to this kind of outro. Except for this is just J. Cole.
Thanking everybody.
But
hey, if anybody else has ever done that on their albums, especially before the Fugees, please let us know.
Yeah.
We're always about fact checking ourselves here.
Right. Just
tell us when we're wrong. We love
please.
That.
Yes, we love to be told we're wrong.
Please
thank
do.
You.
Because then I know. You know?
Yeah.
Well, no, because if you don't know, now you know.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
But what's what do you think the moral he's trying to go for at the end of this is?
Life's hard, man.
Well, yes, but I think he's literally just trying to show thanks where thanks is due. I think he just has a lot of love because what a road it probably he has taken to get where he's at, and I think he had to throw out a lot of thanks to a lot of people, and it makes sense.
Well, it does seem like he's kind of taking a step back.
He does
from
it
the
in
concept.
A very entertaining way.
He's kind of taking a step back from the concept, too, and just kind of saying, like, you know, if we want to deal with these inequalities, we need to love, you know.
Agreed.
And
you show love to everybody. Mm. That's the problem. We need to show love to everybody.
I can't remember.
You need to have
because
empathy.
We're people.
I can't remember.
Because we're people.
Who's
supposed is that what that emotion is called, Brad? I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Well, I'm just saying you need to take a step further.
No.
Day to day life. You need to both,
you need to
show
empathy.
Well, you need to understand the walks of life people are coming from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, and I mean, also, part of that is understanding that you never will understand.
Oh, yeah. And being
that's,
you know,
that's
yeah.
very true.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, reconciling with that.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
always say that.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't understand, but.
That's what life's about.
But try.
That's
try.
What life's about.
But
you got to look inward every
try.
Once in a
yeah,
while.
Yeah. Try to understand.
Got to better yourself and look inward every once in a while. So
yeah.
That's
yeah.
what life's all about. And I think that's kind of what he's getting at.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, if it's 14 minutes of him praising and thanking everybody that helped him get there, I think that's probably a short fee that he could pay.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a nice little thank you. We'll tag it at the end here.
Yeah, it's a great one.
But that's it for the album. J. Cole, 2014 Forest Hill Drive.
Good pick, Trevor.
Great
Thank
pick.
You.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you guys appreciated it.
Yeah,
it's good.
This is one of my favorite. This is a really
better than I thought.
I'm definitely
going
to go back and listen to more J. Cole.
And his new stuff that he does, so he actually has, and I don't know if he's featured on this, but he does have an alter ego, Kill Edward, And he does. He's featured quite a bit. I think he's done some. He's done an album, if I'm not mistaken. But that's kind of like his underground persona.
Okay.
Per se.
Kill Edward.
Yeah, Kill
All
Edward.
Right. All right.
And so he's featured more on his one of his newer albums, KOD. So J. Cole gets he's some really into some heavy stuff there, and he's getting it's a good album. But overall, give it a listen too.
Okay, well, why don't we start with you then? What have you been listening to these days?
Well,
what have you been listening to?
Other than the album Concept Hour, I try and listen to you guys whenever I can.
Cool, thanks,
Trevor.
Yeah.
Always nice to meet a fan.
Yeah, nice. I you know, numero uno. Not in a creepy way, though. But
of course.
All right,
just a little shrine.
Right.
Fingernail clippings, but whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, they're there.
Anyways, and so I've also been listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. It's another podcast.
Yes.
We were kind of talking about that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
What's
the show again?
What's
the Netflix show?
The Netflix show is The Midnight Gospel.
Yeah, I feel like I might have mentioned this on the podcast before, but it's very good.
It is. And so I've been listening to a lot of his podcast.
Psychedelic shit.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of his podcast, and overall, he just touches on a lot of the subjects that are really prevalent and all really good. But
he's almost like a chiller, less extremely masculine Joe Rogan.
Exactly. And
much less problematic.
The last one I've been listening to, just because I have been so obsessed with it and I had to throw it out, is Mos Def's Black on Both Sides. And if you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend it, because from front to back, it is a masterpiece.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on my list.
It's really good.
Yeah. What about you, John? What have you been jamming on these days?
Well, I'll tell you. After we picked apart Animals the other night, I've been re-listening to a lot of that stuff, just because...
Pick apart the Passion Podcast?
I never...
Available on Revolver Audio.
I never knew that the Animals was about Animal Farm.
What's Animal Farm?
Animal Farm is a really good book, but it's like a dystopia book. And it's describing what happened in Marxist Russia.
Sure.
Like, they tried to do a, you know, communist revolution. And it just didn't happen, because in the book, the pigs become the humans, you know?
Interesting.
And it's
like a commentary on both communism and capitalism.
Exactly.
Right? Well,
yeah.
So,
it's also like, it got so popular because like people were like, ooh, this is a great example of what happens when you try to go communist. It's like, no, this is what happens when people do shitty stuff.
No, it's what happens when communists become state capitalists.
Exactly.
No, it's all socialism.
Is not bad.
It's all socialism. Those socialists are
so
commies.
So hard.
Yeah.
But no.
It's like an A and Randy.
Otherwise, I've just been listening to a lot of 105.5 when I can. I've been listening to a lot of Rush.
Not from Wisconsin. What is 101.5?
105.5.
105.5.
Triple M
is the Triple M station, and they do a lot of live performances. They play a lot of they play some underground stuff. They play a lot of alternative stuff. You know, their rotation of music is like 5 or 6 hours versus like most are like 2 hours.
Oh, I like that.
You know, so you get like much more and you get a much more volume of music, because they play hits, they play not hits.
Sounds
sounds
really similar to 91.7, where you can hear Jake the Snake.
That's very true.
Jake the Snake on the Lake, 91.7 under the covers.
Listen to it, kids. He plays the classics, and then
he's been here.
It.
Friend of the show.
Oh, yes. Very, very, very good friend of the show. We love to support the locals.
Yeah.
He loves to support us, too.
Yeah. So
that is the way it is.
Yeah.
So if you're an FM person, you always have 91.7.
Always have 91.7. Yeah.
So, Brad, what have you been listening to, bud?
I've been listening to, first of all, a few audiobooks. I'll mention this to make my brother happy.
What do you got?
Robert Greene, 48 Laws of Power, if you haven't heard of it. It's kind of a patriarchal view on power, but I mean, it helps you understand why people, or you know, some of the power plays people utilize and why they use them. So I really suggest it to help you understand when power is being wielded against you. It's very, very heady book.
Nice.
Some good historical context stuff.
That's good.
I'm listening right now to The Laws of Human Nature by him, but The 48 Laws of Power I've read all the way through.
I like that.
I've also been listening to, I guess, just a ton of this. I've been mixing a lot, so nice. I've been re-listening to all of everything.
Oh,
so,
Brad.
Commitment.
You know. Yeah,
no, man. Quarantine was the best thing that ever could have happened to you, dude.
Oh, I hope so.
You get to do your passion.
It's yet to be proven.
For so long. No. But like, dude, though. I know you've done a lot of work, but the results are all good. Like, no matter what.
So you
get to say that you got to stay home and do what you wanted. Like, you're one of the good things about quarantine.
Yeah,
quarantine is not great.
Well,
great for everybody. Not great.
I was
going
to say, like, you know, any advertisers out there. I hope I can keep this going. Any advertisers that's you know, cool.
Just send us an email.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, we love to talk, and why don't we? We could definitely use a little time space to talk about you. So
yeah, man, we'll do it.
We're basically an hour and a half. Start paying us, we'll do 2 hours. Other half hour with your shit.
I mean, there's a finite amount of time.
I
want to put our listeners through.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
that was
it can't be just commercials. I mean, we can make some good plugs, though.
Yeah, we could definitely do.
Well, you mix it up. You do some commercials, some plugs.
Yeah.
That's how you keep it going.
I've been also doing the Pick Apart the Passion. Episode 2 is out with Kay Sankofa. We interviewed him about his album, Parisia, which is really, really good. He's an activist as well, so if you want to get some really strong, you know, political activist type of hip hop going, listen to that album, Parisia.
Parisia.
I also jammed on some Death Grips the other day. Haven't done that in a while. Good shit. Everyone in Madison loves some Death Grips.
Everybody.
Hey, by the way, everybody should watch Avatar on Netflix. Great series.
The movie?
No, not the movie, Brad.
Shyamalan number?
Man, you do this to me every time.
Is that on Netflix now? Brad.
They're both on Netflix. Watch the series.
Oh, they are. They're both on. Okay.
Don't watch the movie.
Sweet. I can't wait.
The series is great.
Can't wait to see it.
Oh, Brad.
And kick some major Fire Lord.
Not in the movie.
But I'll definitely be. I just haven't dived into Avatar because of the time. it's just a time commitment. I know it's good.
Yeah,
We are the Fire Nation.
But I got through the Clone Wars this year, and that was really hard to get through.
The animated,
I loved it.
The animated
but
Clone Wars.
Yes,
I loved it, but it was hard to get through.
That's a good.
You know,
one.
It was. You know, it was worth it.
It's
but
a lot of story. It's a lot of meat to the story. It is.
Sometimes too much meat. Sometimes a little fat. A little bit of fat.
a little bit of fat. A little bit.
But yeah, I've been, you know, also Dark Season 3 just came out, a month ago to whoever's listening to this. And I'm sure it's warping my mind as we speak. Thank you. but yeah, thanks everyone for listening to the Album Concept Hour today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us in Season 2.
Hey.
We love you. We love everything that you post when you post it. And
just keep us rolling. That's all we ask.
Yeah. Just give us a little shout out every now and again.
Have
guys.
A pleasant evening. And
thank you, Trevor, for being on.
Yes, thanks, Trevor. Thanks for coming into the studio for the first time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, finally getting you in the actual space here.
So. You guys popped my cherry.
We did. Anytime, nice. Bro. Anytime.
Well,
nuts.
Now you can't. I mean, it's already been done.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, like, you need some attention. Just, Come over here. All right. Well, everybody, that has been the Album Concept Hour. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you. Love you.
Jonah Hill. How could I forget Jonah Hill? Yo, that shit you told me when we was in the elevator? Nigga, that shit changed my... I'm just fucking playing. I don't know either one of those two dudes. I don't know either one of them niggas. I was in the moment. I just lied. I don't give a fuck. 2014, Forest Hill Drop. Cold world, man. Thank y'all for listening. If you made it this far, then I really fuck with you. Until the next time, I don't know when that's gonna be, but. One love, baby!
Thanks for listening. The Album Concept Hour is Brad LeBaron, Dave Gallagher, John Aker, and Scott Wesley. Special thanks to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard for the theme music. Please like us on Facebook or friend us on Twitter or MySpace and let us know what concept album you would like to hear on the podcast. See you on Side B. This has been a Revolver Audio production. Executive producer Brad LeBaron. For more podcasts, visit soundcloud.com/revolveraudio. Or to support new content, visit ko-fi.com/revolveraudio. Revolver.